There's a great danger here that I see, that people take verses out of context. They cherry-pick the scriptures to build up a pet doctrine. They see in Paul a liberty, a license to sin, basically. And they proclaim doctrines like once saved, always saved, or the law, and the law was nailed to the cross. And so there's one extreme there. They use a license to sin. You don't have to worry about it. Just go about your merry way. Once saved, always saved. And there are others that, on the other extreme, who see the same verses, and they go to the length of rejecting everything that Paul writes. Even they have, even have a website, Jesus Words Only, where they exclude everything that Paul says and only use the words of Jesus. That's another danger. Now, if you read the whole thing in context, like what I'm doing here, and you see these extremes that Paul is expressing, but reconcile them the way that Paul reconciles and brings them together with an understanding that goes beyond the flesh, beyond the extremes, there's a mystery here that the Heavenly Father wants to reveal to you, to those that diligently seek Him. But you must diligently seek Him, and He will reveal these mysteries to you, these mysteries of the kingdom, because I believe that's the area we're getting in. If you're in one of these extreme camps that I mentioned, you missed it. Go back, read the whole thing in context, and get the balance, and then walk in it. Learn obedience, you know, learn. Diligently seek Him. That means obey, even to the letter, if that's what it takes to practice. But realize you can't rely on your desire to keep the letter of the law for salvation, because you're lost. It's by faith that you're saved. You know, what can I say? You need to somehow reconcile these two extremes, and you can't reject Paul because of it. Because I can show people, these people that proclaim Jesus' words only because they want to reject Paul, because in one hand he seems to say that you have liberty. I can show you the same liberty if I cherry pick the words of the Messiah. And I do that all the time whenever I have to converse with one of these people that do the Jesus' words only and a rejection of Paul thing. I can go cherry pick Jesus' words and show, give you the same doctrine. Now, anyone who does that, is they're in error. They need to read the whole thing in context and understand. And I can't give you that understanding. It comes from diligently seeking Him. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. We are going to move on here. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. See, all those that want to say that Paul allows sin, so we have to reject Paul? Wait a minute. After he said all of that, and they use all of that that he said to either reject him or to reject what I just read, he balances everything out. If you practice these things, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The works of the flesh are manifest. If these things are manifest in your life, adultery, fornication, you know, I believe he's listing him here in order of severity. You know, the ones, and I believe these are the ones that the Holy Spirit works on first. First, he works on adultery and fornication. Get those things out. Yeah, uncleanness. You know, that's impurity, physically or morally. You know, that goes to the mindset. That's a mindset of adultery and fornication. What you walk into, your speech, who you hang out with, what you talk about, what you pursue. Because, you know, you can get rid of the adultery and fornication in practice, but if you're still unclean in your thought life, you're going to fall right back into it. Lasciviousness. You know, what do we get here? apparently meaning licentiousness, you know, and other vices. That would go to license, you know, to do the anything that the state allows that's not allowed by God's law, or any license you have to do wickedness of any sort. And also goes to habits, you know, like drinking continually, drugs, cigarettes, and all those kind of habits, no matter what kind of drugs, whatever your habit is that controls you, lasciviousness. And of course, idolatry, you know, witchcraft, hatred, going down the line, variance. So what do we mean by variance here? Wrangling, contentious, to be contentious, in strife all the time, you know, at variance with your neighbor, emulations, jealousy, there you go, wrath, anger, strife, seditions, you know, dissensions, disunion, bringing division continually, heresies, envyings, murders, you know, and many people murder only in their mind through hatred, because of envyings, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like, which I, as I told you before, as I also told you in past time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, we can all slip. I could feel jealousy and act on it. I could have a moment, you know, where I move on an emotion, but I don't practice those things. I don't let those things control me. We could all slip occasionally. But this, he's talking about people who practice these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If these things in this list are a daily part of your life, then you've got a problem. You shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If it happens to you occasionally, you slip and then you repent, you're fine. Nobody's going to walk perfectly. But if these things are a part of your life every day, you've got a problem. You need to consider, are you really in his kingdom, or are you just kidding yourself? Because you're not kidding the Almighty. You're not fooling him. He will free you from every one of these things. And then you'll be tested occasionally, and sometimes you'll fall. That's the way it works. Just to let you know where you stand. He keeps us all very humble. And if you're a mature man and you've been walking in Messiah for many, many years, as I have, you know exactly what I'm talking about. He keeps us humble by allowing us to stumble, that we don't become too high-minded or fall into that sin of self-righteousness. But I just tell him, oh, Heavenly Father, you know, I stumble occasionally, but please don't let me fall. I don't want to let it slip. Yes, keep me humble, but don't let me fall. Chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. These are the things that you need to see in your life every day. These are the things that you need to practice. These need to be your overriding mode of operation in your life, as opposed to the things that he listed before, which he said you can't inherit the kingdom of God. Okay? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. If you have all these, but, you know, you don't say the name right, or you don't keep the, it doesn't matter, see? You're learning. And when the time comes, when the resurrection comes, will all that belong to him, that are changed in a moment or a twinkle of an eye, or raised from the dead, whatever position at that time, we will then perfectly keep the law. And we'll do it with gladness. We will, because we desire right now to be in that state where we will never sin again and never even be tempted. And we're going to be there because we choose it now. And how do we know we choose it now? Because we strive for it now. Because we want to please the Almighty. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Skipped a little bit there, didn't I? And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. That's what we do. You know, been walking 40 years, and I'm going to tell you, you know, for a long time, it was hard work crucifying the flesh with the affections thereof. Now it's just keeping it that way. I can't let it slip. I have to keep it that way. I'm continually, you know, I'm tempted. I take the way of escape. It becomes my mode of operation now. You know, it becomes automatic after a while. But it still, once in a while, it could stumble a little and go, whoa. You know, yes, keeps me humble. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Galatians chapter 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You know, and I try to practice this as much as I can. I see men that are overtaken in faults that I've walked away from in the past, and I've left them way in the past. And it grieves me to see them struggle and you know, with these faults. But it says, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens. I mean, what? Okay, going back to that, what's the temptation? Yeah, the temptation is, you know, I'm perfect and I'm just because I don't do that anymore. I don't have that fault anymore. I left that one way behind. No, here I go. I say there, but for the grace of God, go I, you know. There's nothing in myself that I can lay a hold of and say it's because of me or what I did or because of who I am that, you know, I am where I am in Christ and that I've left those faults behind. I'm glad that I have, but I grieve in a way. I grieve for those that are struggling with those things and it seems that they just can't leave it behind. They may die with that fault. Are they going to be saved? I hope so. I pray that they are. Maybe they will and maybe they won't. I can't make that judgment. That's between them and the Almighty. I can't go that far. Some people, it's easy. Yeah, they're definitely lost. And if they don't repent, they're going to be. But if they're struggling with, you know, these faults, then the judgment isn't mine to make anymore. If I see a true desire there, I just pray, God, deliver them, please. Heavenly Father, give them the strength to overcome that fault, that they might have that victory over that and be able to move on to the next thing. And then after that, the next thing. That's my experience in my life. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. And that's what I realized. I am nothing. Without Messiah, without what he has done in my life for the last 40 years, I am nothing. Yes, not take heed, lest I fall. You know, don't want to think myself to be something when I'm nothing. I don't want to deceive myself. I am what I am by the grace of Him who shed His blood for me and set me free from the powers of darkness that held me. But let every man prove his own work. Mm-hmm. I'll prove my own work. I can't prove someone else's. You know, if they're working, they're working on it with the Spirit of the Almighty. Yeah, maybe they need to fail. I don't know. Maybe there's a deeper issue, a darker issue that maybe they couldn't stand. Maybe if they conquered that, pride would rise up and take them down. That would be a worse sin. It's hard to judge. I can't do it. So he says, let every man prove his own work. Oh, whew. Good. I only have to prove my own work. I don't have to prove my neighbors. I don't have to prove those disciples under me. I just, you know, restore them. Spirit of meekness. And then shall thou have rejoicing in himself alone. So, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. And it's true, you know, for all the young people out there, or the people that tried to walk and, you know, for a little while and then they dropped it, you know, jump back in. 40 years, you begin to be able to look back and see, you know, 20 years, 10 years, you know, but you have to endure for a while to see something, you know. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. But, you know, diligence takes years. That's right. It takes time. He will reward you with a little. He'll give you a little insight. But the insight, but when you can look back in your life and you can go, wow, yeah, he's been working. I couldn't see it after 1 year. But I look back after 10 years, I could see, go, yeah, he's working. 20 years, oh, yeah, he's working. You know, 30, 40 years, oh, wow. Yeah, he is working. Yeah, he works. He works diligently with patience. You know, seek him. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, and he knows when the due season is, you just be patient and trust and obey and walk in faith, you know, and believe. We shall reap if we faint not. That's trouble. Both people will faint. You know, we have the parable of the sower. The Messiah demonstrated in words for us how people faint. You know, the riches of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of this world, the lusts of the flesh, all these things, they faint. You go, well, there's no reward in that. I'm going to go back to what I was doing before. Yeah. What treasure, you know? Oh, man, people are coming against me. You know, I thought things got better, you know. How's the slogan go? Things go better with Jesus, you know. They borrow the Coca-Cola theme. I'm sorry. You know, things go better in forever with Jesus, but not temporarily, not in this life. They don't go better. You know, it don't get better at all. You're still going to, you know, the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. That's not going to change. In this life, you will have tribulation. Either you're going to have them with Messiah, or you're going to have them without Messiah. You're going to have tribulations and suffering and sorrow in his kingdom, or you're going to have it without his kingdom. That's the only difference. You still get all of the trials, the tribulations, the things that prove you, and they'll prove you that you are his, or they'll prove that you're not his. That's what the trials of this life are, to prove you one way or another, who you are, who you belong to, if you're in his kingdom or if you're not in his kingdom. Will you obey his law when the trials and tribulations come? Or will you cheat? Will you hate your neighbor without a cause? Will you bear false witness? Will you steal if you get a chance and justify it somehow? For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. When the opportunity arises to do good, do it. Choose it. Choose to do good. Especially unto them, especially, but not just, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. When an opportunity arises to do good, do it. That's what good men do. And especially to them who are of the household of faith, especially to the brethren. You see how large a letter I've written unto you with my own hand, Paul speaking now. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised or to follow the letter of the law. And of course, he's writing to the Galatians, who are not even Jews or Yahudi, called by his name, not Hebrews. They are not of the nation that was called by the Almighty. which nation, which was at the time Paul wrote this, the 70 weeks were passed. That's right. The whole Judaism or the religion of Judaism of that nation was done. Its time was over with the ripping of the veil in the temple from the top to the bottom. Sorry. That's not for the nations. So he says, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. So he's saying you'll be tempted to do a lot of things or not do things because of persecution. Then it was they were persecuted for not being circumcised. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. That's what the whole world does. They want to glory in your flesh. The more people that join us, the more people that say there is no God, they glory in that. If they can talk you in, that's why they teach it and preach it in the public school systems, in all the movies and the media, and they have the Song of Fools on the radio continually. They want all to glory together, for they say in themselves that if we join hand in hand, then God will not stand against us. That God will have to listen to us. Yeah, that's the old Babylonian, the Babylon, the Tower of Babel mentality. That's what it is. We are the world. Yes, and they all sing the song together. God is not going to let us all. We all join together and love one another our way. God's going to have to receive us. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. And here he sums the whole matter up. Circumcision or uncircumcision, whether you're in the, you follow the letter of the law or you don't follow the letter of the law. He says, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy upon the Israel of God. And who is the Israel of God? Those who are called in the Spirit. And I accept that. I have that peace. He says, as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them. And it's wonderful to have this peace. And it's somewhat heartbreaking, and sometimes it can be maddening, to see people that want to walk according to the letter of the law and lay burdens upon other people. And then they falsely believe, well, if I do this, I'll be saved. Or I do this and other people don't. You know, I say the name according to this group of people, and you know, or I keep the lunar Sabbath and they don't, so I'm saved. And they have their assurance in the things they do rather than this liberty. From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And that is the end of Galatians and the end of this broadcast.